Welcome to the Vlogpastors Podcast, a podcast all about the stories and strategies of sharing God's love in the digital world. Now, here are two pastors that love to put a camera in their face and walk around in public. They are the Starsky and Hutch of digital ministry, Jared Brown and Joshua Verwers.
Well, hello there. I'm Joshua Verwers.
That was so over the top. I love it. And I'm, hang on, let me match pitch. And I'm Jared Brown, and welcome to episode 83.
That's right. And you all are joining us live on demand on the interwebs. You can be catching us on YouTube, on Rumble, on TikTok. Nope, not TikTok. On Twitter. We haven't got on TikTok yet. The good old Book of Faces.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can join us every Wednesday. Normally, today we're on Friday. I don't want to hear about it. But normally you can catch us every Wednesday at 10:30 in the a.m. Central Time, God's time, as we all know, to help us navigate these waters of what we're talking about in a given day.
I had a mustache hair that just fell on my tongue.
What is up today?
I don't know. Right as we were playing the intro, our mics are hooked up. So while the intros are playing, we can hear each other. You guys can't hear us because it mutes our microphones for the intro scene. And I was telling him, like, I had to grab a nose hair and pluck it because it was tickling me. And then apparently when I did one of these, it then brushed a mustache hair on my lip, and then I took a drink, and then it was on my tongue, and it was like, nah.
Or was it? Was it a different hair? Maybe it was same hair.
It was definitely a mustache hair, because that's why I was looking at it so close, because it was like, is that even a hair? Because it's the real light blonde in there.
Either way, it caught you off guard for like a Mrs. Doubtfire entrance.
Hello! yes. Diana's saying, laugh out loud. That is gross. Laugh out loud. Crying emoji face. She likes the crying emoji face, and I love that she's got the crying emoji face. She also said that God's time is central time. And you know how I know that God's time is central time? You guys would like to claim that it's because of God's country, Texas, or because of where the arch is to the Midwest or to the West down in St. Louis. But as we all know, Iowa is heaven. Is this heaven? No, it's Iowa. So it's God's time here.
Ooh, I see.
I rest my case. Field of Dreams said so. Shoeless Joe. Kevin Costner.
You build it, they will come.
Greatest movies of all time. That's right. That sounds biblical.
I think that was their point.
And so also in the chat, Brian David, Jeffrey Colling, and of course Diana saying, well, Josh and the covered with paper person.
Yeah.
The covered with paper person. I have got, Diana, will you like send us a picture of how your screen is showed up right now? Set up? That's what I meant. I want to see a piece of paper. Over it, because I kind of envision it being something like she's watching on her phone like this. It's like Jared has been covered. What's her beef? I don't know. What's in your deal? Hand?
Nah, I don't know. Couldn't tell you. It's my precious. Huh, Diana? Huh?
Y'all don't know.
Excellent.
Y'all don't know.
You don't know.
Y'all don't know the deception. Y'all don't know the frustration. Y'all don't know the covetousness that was being had.
That's why I stayed out of it. No. Listen, on my defense, there will not be an apology, Diana. I do not apologize. You two strong personalities, you are going to get it anyway.
You don't apologize. Confess. Confess of your crime. Confess of your sinful deception of friends.
I was very careful to make sure that I did not lie to my friends. I just let you think what you wanted to think. And I said things like, a ZVE1, when I get one, which I already have one, when I get one, I would probably try these things. out with it. And I said repeatedly, be careful for certain things, because I could hear you guys getting excited about the possibilities. And I said things like, hey, watch out for the crop lenses, because the crop on those lenses, yeah. I think 20 is going to be really, really tight whenever you go to do.
I think 20 would be too tight as well, but that's not because you have actually experienced it. It's because I remember having the M50 that had a 1.6 crop with a 15 mil lens, which was essentially putting it at a 23 or a 24 mil. And it was like, no, that's too close. Like, you guys thought this 15 to 45 kit lens was a vlogger lens. Y'all are crazy. It's not. 15 on a full frame, 16 on a full frame is doable.
Yeah.
Anything beyond that?
Yeah. You're struggling.
Yeah. See, you pretended to be in the pain and the thick of it all with us. You lied to us. That is exactly. Confess.
I'm not gonna lie.
It is a lie of omission.
No.
It was not a lie of commission. It was a lie of omission. You left important details. You led us on to believe that you were in the same boat as us. Looking and longing for this thing.
Nanana boo boo. I got one of these the day after it came out.
And here's Diana, who's like selling off of her kit just to wind up getting it. She's like selling the kit. She's selling the kit. She's doing all that. Here's me. You guys are like, hey, so when are you getting Big E? And I'm like, my wife and kids are expensive. I have no idea.
Yeah.
It's like, and this time of the year is the worst for me because a birthday in February, mm-hmm. two birthdays in March, a birthday in April, a birthday in May, a birthday in June, an anniversary in July. It's like, man, I got like 6 months out of the year coming right off of Christmas too that I got nothing.
Well, let me say, now that it's safe, okay, I totally understand.
You're not safe yet.
I did the same thing that Diana did. I sold off probably 3/4 to 7/8 of all of my equipment. I'm left with the A7S3, and I kept the A6600, which was a dumb. I should have gotten rid of that as well. That's next. But I want to make sure I've got all my events covered. Anyway, this guy right here, let me just go ahead and say it, now that I'm not going to cause any sort of covetousness and everybody knows, this thing is amazing. It's amazing. If you were looking at, did you cut me off? No. Oh, no. Diana, I'm sorry.
That's hilarious.
No, it's got, seriously, Diana, it's got some issues. I know we talked about it in the chat. There is a warp, and it's hard to explain because, like, imagine if it's focused on me, but not on the fringes, but right here behind me. Imagine if it went wob, 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 like it was hunting for focus, and the whole thing, it's nearly a deal breaker. It may just be my camera, but I mean, don't go buying two of those things before you test it out yourself. But this thing, to tie into what we're going to be talking about here today, it runs in the background no matter what I'm doing with my business stuff. So this is like my business documentation camera. So it's doing stuff for Bite of Brownie. So I'm doing shorts and things like that for Bite of Brownie reels, building up a big inventory. And this thing is running behind the scenes. And what it does really well is it turns vertically, which you may be able to see it on the screen. Screen here. It's got that horizon bar.
Yep.
You flip that bad boy upside down and he's ready to go vertical. Content creation machine. Machine right here.
Yeah. You. And hey, for those in the chat, I'm just going to put Jared on full blast right now, because if you want to know what his reaction was to us finding this out, that's not the one. It's this one right here. This GIF is what he sent us. That is what he sent.
Yeah.
Full on Dr. Evil mode.
Evil.
Yeah, she's like, you acted like you were searching for videos on YouTube with us.
I did, because I had to look for things so that I could show you without going, hey.
Full conversion, actually. And he's just tossing in the air, laughing at us.
Lots of fun. Lots of fun.
Yeah, anyways, she says, I definitely don't. I definitely don't doubt what you're saying, but it's new tech that needs to be corrected. So I get that. Yeah, there are going to be issues with it. There's going to be, you know, it is what it is. Like, if I remember right, Diana, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the A6600 is what I'm still rocking, and it's coming on 4 years old at this point, which in camera terms, that's old. Cameras and cell phones, they age about the equivalent. They're still good 4 years later, but you're about to run out of any updates that you got, which means it's going to be very dated. But if I remember right, the A6600 was the first Sony camera that they had dual pixel, or the eye autofocus in video. They had come out with eye autofocus in, I believe it was the photos and stuff, but they hadn't come out with eye autofocus in video until the A6600, if memory serves me right. And even afterwards, like, it had an issue. It's much improved. You know, you get some updates through it, you start doing the firmware updates, and yeah, it definitely improves. But it definitely had some issues right out the gate. Well,
the battery alone, that thing is so small, but still has a big boy battery in it. That thing has stood the test of time. I can film all day with that.
Now you know why I think I have only on this thing swapped out the battery one time. Like, when I went down, and this is back, I think, 2019, went down to Florida, did that vlog down there, met up with Jason Mayfield. He had a couple extra of those batteries, and they were aftermarket ones, and he gave them to me. And on the very last day of our trip coming back, I put one of those batteries in. I haven't done it since. I haven't had the need to. And part of that's because, you know, I go ahead, quick release plate, put it on here, plug in the USB cable, plug in the micro HDMI or the mini HDMI, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden it's like, it charges back up. I mean, it says it's on full battery, and then I'll be all week long vlogging when I actually do something like that. And then I record it at church, and it never runs out of battery. I've never had an issue with it.
It requires
small, lightweight. And
cool. It's amazing. It requires two batteries on a full shoot day.
Yeah.
Where my A7S3 is 4 to 5 batteries on that day. Little known fact to you guys who want an A7S3, it is constantly power sucking. So even if it's turned off, your battery is still draining. It, no matter what, you need to get that battery out of that camera. So it could be off in your bag and it's still draining the battery. Not like it would be if it was on, but you're still having some battery suck. So no matter what, if you're filming for a full day, you could probably, and it's constant, that little bitty A6600 can last for days. But it is not, Joshua, it is not as close. These two cameras, the color match, the way that they function, the autofocus is not in the ballpark of what that little guy does, the ZV-E1. It's not in the ballpark. The A6600 cannot compete.
Oh,
A7S3 is the only thing that's close. Yeah, it's...
Oh.
Because it's constantly going eye, face. Face eye, it's just,
oh yeah,
the, like this, the guy, E1. This guy's gotten off a couple of times, like just since we've been, you know, sitting down chatting, and it's I have to try to do it. I'll hide myself, but it takes a second to come back. Not the little guy, the ZV-E1. Nope, you're not constantly fooling it.
And that's what this does too. Like right now, I can look up on the screen and I can see, you know, it's got the little right here on the eye, and then if my hand goes up, then it's full square around the head.
Yeah,
if I turn slightly, then it goes to the head. And then if I'm looking at the screen, it goes off the eye. As soon as I look back at it, it picks up the eye. Like their eye autofocus is
amazing.
It's cool.
Well, this one will lose it from time to time. That little ZV-E1, nah. Can't trick a
trickster. Doesn't lose. Yeah.
No.
That's good to hear. That's very good to hear. Now I just got to come up with the cash.
So here's a little bit of the deception that you guys were saying. Part of that was I was making a vlog that will probably never come to be. I was making a vlog about teasing you guys in the background about being on the live stream, stroking the camera, all that stuff. And it just, it's not going to come out. So I realized that, like, you guys are making decisions now. And so Diana needs to know some of the negative effects.
Why would you not make the video? That would be hilarious audience.
I'm gonna make it.
You better make it.
I'm gonna make it. I'm making it. Like, it's still ongoing, but now like the resolution hasn't been recorded because now I've told you guys. Well, I guess I could pull up this clip right here,
I'll send it over to you.
I'm probably 2 weeks out from a vlog. If we're being honest, I'm so small.
Shame on you.
don't want to talk about
it. I don't know how far out I am on a vlog. I mean, I've got half of it recorded. The other half that I didn't have recorded, I got back from yesterday. And that's where we're kind of going in. We're talking about this. We'll just let you know. Today's episode is brought to you by the Vlog Pastors, titled The Importance of Documenting Your Journey. How did we want to talk about this? You were talking, you sent this over in our chat about an idea, and you said maybe discuss the importance of documenting life events like praying for Trump in order to relevantly share our faith.
That's why yeah. you, I forgot that you had just a little dinner appointment with,
it
Mr.
was a
Trump,
luncheon.
It was a small luncheon. So you get to go pray with a handful of other pastors, faith leaders over President Trump. That's kind of one of those moments that I'm sure you can't because of Secret Service and the issue and all the things, but like that camera strapped to your arm. I want to know about that event. I want to know what it's like leading up. I want to know, like, how did you get into that? All those things that you're going to tell me right here in this vlog pastor's session, but you're also going to show me in a vlog.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hold on a second. Let me see if I can figure out how to mute this.
Because the rest of us don't get to do that. I think those are moments that may be common to you in Iowa, but we need to be documenting or like, you know,
it's not uncommon in Iowa. Let me put it that way. Well, I wonder if I can even pull this up. Let me see if I can
not to mention that thumbnail that you're going to use. Hilarious. The poor guy doesn't even get like a full smile going on. So he's got like this almost like crooked smirk kind of a thing. It's like, oh, that's the wrong guy to give a crooked smirk smile to. He's going to make that something. Joshua is going to turn that.
I do. Well, so I'll probably be nice and not make it too much, but to give you guys an idea of what he's talking about.
That would be amazing. Yeah, there it is.
You know what
that's
I found?
A good shot, man.
Well, I blurred out because this lady was standing here and I tried playing with Adobe Photoshop's Firefly, the new AI regenerative fill. Oh, it was hilarious. Like I selected her and I was like, turn her around backwards. And it just erased her and put like three different women in for options that are turned backwards looking and smiling at the camera. And I was like, no, that's not it.
Oh, no.
So then I was asking it to like do like a photo depth of field bokeh lens blur on it. And it did a pretty decent job once I had everything selected correctly. But yes, this was one of those events. So here was the thing I was going to try to show you briefly. If I go over here, so there's just some footage that is ready for a vlog.
Yeah, it is.
So yeah, there was a camera that was present. There was a camera that was recording for a lot of it. And then I also had my second camera, my Google Pixel, as a backup, which I'm glad I did because I asked a question at one point, which you'll see in the vlog when it comes out.
I'm pumping the brakes. Set this up for me, okay? I don't need the whole setup of like how you got there, but like maybe the thought process would be helpful to the audience because my thinking is, okay, this is a presidential, like a legitimate presidential candidate. Like this, there's high likelihood that this guy goes through. Former president.
He's announced that he is running for president, so he's technically a presidential candidate, and he's one of only 46 people in the history of these United States that has held that office. Like, he is still President Donald J. Trump. Doesn't matter if he's in the office currently or not. He's not the current president. He's still a president. Obama is still a president. Clinton, Bush, still presidents, period.
And they have a team that goes with them. So I think when I was considering this, not considering, but like when I was thinking about being in your situation, my immediate reaction was like, okay, well, obviously they're not going to let me film any of this, so you know, what would I bring my cell phone to try and catch a couple nuggets, which is what I thought you did, but sounds like you brought a whole rig and filmed it.
I brought
what you're thinking in that
the ZV1 because here was the deal. So I get the phone call. It's from another pastor that He and I are friends. He's part of one of the faith organizations. I believe it's Faith Wins. And usually what happens is in Iowa, we have certain organizations that are really effective at getting out the vote and mobilizing voters. And our evangelical community is very, very influential. We may not tell you who is going to be the next president, but we will tell you who will not be the president. Because after the Iowa caucuses, we have eliminated about half of the field at that point. And we've basically narrowed it down and said, and both Republican and Democrat, it's like, no, these guys are not going to. They just don't meet it. You're not going to get a chance to vote for them because they have no momentum after they've come out of here. Others start to have a little bit of momentum and they go on to do very well. That being said, all these candidates, they want to get in front of as many of these influential, politically active, and I use active loosely because what their idea of active is and what our idea of active is usually different, but the end results wind up being the same, that we have a sphere of influence that definitely helps to navigate and steer ships. That being said, they want to be in front of us. So the phone call came, hey, we're looking for about 50 pastors across the state, strategically placed, that have a sphere of influence and have been historically able to really kind of drive vote and make some, make some waves for or against this winnowing field. That being said, they called me, hey, you interested? Absolutely. Like if you tell me he's going to be having a big rally, I have no interest in doing that. None whatsoever. I'm not going to get any pastoral ability to first and foremost pray for them. And if I don't have that even ability to do it, no, I also don't have the one-on-one ability to be able to ask them a question. Just give me one. And I typically go in knowing what I'm going to ask them. And then it typically winds up changing once I'm on the spot. But those are the things that I wanted to do, have the opportunity. I have to fill out all of the information and send off for Secret Service to screen me and make sure, because this isn't just a presidential candidate. This is a president, which means he's got Secret Service for the rest of his life. They've got to go through. They've got to inspect. They've got to approve. And then after that.
What do they want to know? Real quick. What do they want to know? What did you get? What did they check it do on you?
Name, address, social security number, date of birth, church. That's what they want. So basically, okay, make sure that you're not a criminal and you are who you say you are and you actually kind of meet this criteria. Maybe to check if I'm not on like a no-fly list or something. Apparently I'm not. I don't know. I don't know exactly what they're looking for, but it's like, hey, hand us all this information. We're going to screen it. Sure.
Okay.
No problem. Do that. But then you get an email and it's like the email came the day before. So this happened yesterday. I got the email Wednesday that says, here's where the location is at. He was holding a rally and he was holding a breakfast with one of the big Republican, I think it was the West Side Conservative Club. So one of the larger Republican clubs in the Des Moines area. He already had that on the agenda. Everybody knew where those were going to be happening, what was going to be happening. I think last night he was also doing like some interview, televised interview with Sean Hannity as well. So all of that was happening and the press knew all that. The only other thing they knew is that he was going to be meeting for lunch with a group of religious leaders, faith leaders, pastors, whatever they decide our term is at any given point in time. We didn't know where it was going to be had. I'm sure there were a few people that did know, but they were having to check the logistics and the security for the venue and whatnot. We got the email, it's at a local church. That's where you're going to be. And so it's like, cool. But then you'll get more information later. And I don't know, 12 hours later, here's a list of prohibited items. And on that list of prohibited items was a tripod and a selfie stick. So once I knew no tripod, no selfie stick, I'm not taking the A6600. And then it was like, okay, so I'm not taking the A6600. ZV1 does a good job. It's handheld. It can be wide enough. My arms are long enough that we can handle with that. So I took that and recorded what I could and what I did. Obviously, I had like a vlog idea in mind of what I wanted to document and how I wanted to do it.
Recorded what you could. So you have two cameras on you. You're walking into this venue. What's your mindset here? Like, I'm going to set this up in the back. I'm going to be holding it like while he's talking and getting ready to ask my question.
My first mindset was it would be fun to put the ZV-1 up and do a time lapse. So that was my plan, was to at least get a big time lapse of the whole event, broad widescreen, and then use the phone for everything kind of short. And so I can use the Zoom on that.
Wouldn't you be thinking, okay, I'm going to put a mysterious item in the corner and leave it for, you know, an hour, and the Secret Service is going to have nothing to say about that? So just working through my mindset, you're thinking.
My thought was I walked in, and of course, as soon as you walk in the building, Secret Service there, they're wanding you and patting you down and making sure that you got nothing on. And so I've got my phone and my ZV-1 in one hand with my wallet and keys. And it's like, there you go. So they saw it was a camera. It was like, I wasn't worried about that. I figured the worst they're going to say is you can't take it. And then I would just run back out to the van and drop it off. And my thought was, if I set it up for a time lapse, I'm just going to walk over to one, somebody with the campaign that looks like they might be in the know, and then one of the Secret Service people, and just say, hey, just so you know, I'm putting up this camera. If you want to inspect it or anything, I'm just putting it in the back for a time lapse. Because my thought is, how are you going to prevent people from having cameras around? Everybody has a camera in their pocket. So you can't actually prevent it. You could say this type of a camera for whatever reason, and that would be fine. And if they said that, I'd just take it out. I still had a backup. However, right before I left, because I don't use my ZV-1 for vlogging, I erased my time-lapse profile. So in my settings, because all I had my ZV-1 set up for with my three programmable memories is church, here, and then my time lapse. And I was like, oh, I need the vlog settings. So before I'm leaving, I'm looking back through my notes. Where are my vlog settings on this? What do I have it set up for? And I go through and I do it. I was like, now I need a quick memory on this. So I saved it and I overwrote my time lapse settings, which I don't have written down anywhere. So then it was like, all right, well, no time lapse. So I just set them at the table I was at. And I just thought, like a vlogger, if I see something that's interesting, I'm going to record it. And I'm realizing the majority of it, because I don't have him mic'd up and he's, you know, the other end of the table from me. So he's probably where he was at 20, 25 feet away for the majority of it, because there was kind of a row of the pastor from the church, a few other of the local pastors with the organization, and then him and, I don't know, maybe somebody else sitting at the table. And then the rest of us were kind of like at round banquet tables. So I just kind of figured I'm going to set it back here. And if I see something interesting, I'll zoom in, I'll grab it. But because it's so far away and I don't have him mic'd up, I'm not going to be able to really get any audio. But that's okay, because all I really need is B-roll. Because if I wind up using his audio for any of that portion of it, it's going to let what he's saying drive the narrative for the vlog. I already had an idea for what I want the vlog to be. I don't need him to be talking really in any of that, because this is about not documenting his stump speech. It's about documenting my journey and how does this impact me? And as you kind of alluded to in our chat, how am I able to share this in such a way that it will, how did you refer to that? That it would, in order to relevantly share our faith. So how am I able to document this in a way that is relevant and shows how I'm sharing my faith to hopefully encourage others? So that was kind of the overall setting. But no, in my thoughts, and I don't know, maybe it's because we're in Iowa, because we get all of these political leaders that are coming through all the time, and we see them all, and it's like, you're not that special. I mean, President Trump might be one of the most special ones we've had, just because there are only 46 people that have sat in the office like him. And then at the same time, and I think I posted this on Instagram yesterday, it's like, while it is an honor, and I do feel honored to have the opportunity to meet him and to pray for him, I really hope that he feels the honor that he should have for being in the room of 50 of us, like 50 of the mightiest men and women of God that Iowa has. And if we are told in 1 Peter 2, that we're to honor everybody, honor the king, so we honor the rulers, 1 Timothy 5 says that the elders, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching the word, are worthy of double honor. So it's like, while I feel honored to meet him, he should feel doubly honored to meet me. And that's not me thinking more highly of myself than I ought to think. That's me thinking as highly as I ought to think. And it's like, if I wish that Christianity understood that, for them on a Sunday morning to come in the presence of one of God's anointed preachers, his anointed pastors, the anointed ministers of the gospel, to for them to be in the present and receive from that gifting, that is an honor. Like, they should feel the weight of that. Like, this is God speaking through them. They are speaking as the oracles of God on Sunday morning, as if God himself were speaking to you because he's speaking through them to you. So that's the moments that it's like, yes, it was honorable. So in that scenario, I'm like, no, I don't really. Yeah.
I guess it's more of like a mindset. If that were anybody or any significant event like that, thinking about the security and documenting what you're talking about, that trade-off of there is a notable figure coming and I'm a notable figure and I want to see what happens when the two of us get in the same room. Does God come down and do that thing that only he does? And is there, you know, but basically, I don't want to spoil the thing. Don't tell me thing. I'm going to watch the vlog and we'll get into it. But like, I want to see that. My mindset, obviously I'm your target audience on that one. My mindset would probably default to, okay, there's going to be security. They're used to having all this stuff. So I'm probably just going to bring a cell phone and get what I get. I'm impressed by the courage. I usually would go a different route with that.
I would have brought the whole thing.
I'm impressed that you did. You went for it.
Had it and not I'm, said I'm wondering, selfie stick, and because you're, I mean, my mantis pod, when it's folded up, it is essentially a selfie stick. And when it's unfolded, it's a tripod. It said no selfie sticks, no tripods, because no weapons. And technically they could be used as a weapon. So I get it. The fact that it said that, I was like, okay, well, I'm not taking my A6600. In hindsight, I wish I did. Like, because I could with that 10 mil, I've just never really done it. I've never went handheld vlogging with that. In hindsight, I should have. I should have taken the ZV-1. I should have put it up on staircase wide and do a time lapse of the whole event. I should have used the A6600 with my microphone, and that would have been main holdout vlog, and then use this for some backup stuff for a secondary. That's what I should have done. I didn't. I'm sure this isn't the only presidential candidate I'm going to have the opportunity to be in a room with over the next 9 months, probably. I think we go until January. So it won't be the last. Those I'll wind up taking extra cameras. And here's the bad thing. Like, if any political candidate or any of their staff happens to be listening to the Vlog Pastors podcast, the last thing you want to do is tell me not to bring my camera in. Because just beware that I will instantly assume that that is a intention of silencing speech. And I will make sure to document that and tell everybody about the fact that you did that. That was my first thought. I'm going to show up with my cameras. And if they tell me you can't record anything, oh, so you don't actually stand for free speech. What have you got to hide? If you don't want this to be seen, what have you got to hide?
Which was not a problem.
No, it wasn't a problem. For clarification, it wasn't a problem. And they came rolling, I don't know, 10 people deep with cameras. Like, so he had his own staff that is just there to record and to take photos and to document that. And come on, we had press setting out there, I think, 3 different news stations out in the parking lot. One of them got wind of it ahead of time, so they were already camped out. But by the time I got out there, the other two had caught on to where the location was. For any pastors, just to give you a heads up, if you ever get the chance to meet any type of a presidential candidate, political figure, any famous person for that reason, and you're given the opportunity to be interviewed, which this has happened a few different times, I recommend one thing. Yes, I will do the interview. I'm also going to record it as well. Because the news media will edit what you say to suit their needs. So you record it. That way you've got a full...
That way you get the full context of it. Absolutely. Well, so I would consider this a unique event. And so maybe, you know, for folks who are watching, this, I want to make note that this is, while it may be common to you, and I'm encouraging you to document the whole process, of course, for all the upcoming events that you may have. It's not a big theme in any of your vlogs. I don't think you have sitting down to lunch with Joseph Biden or anything like that.
And that's something I've stayed away from because I got burnt on politics in 2015, 2016.
That needs to be a vlog.
Well, yeah. Let's just say that it doesn't matter what political party you are a part of. There are some people that when you challenge them and their beliefs, they will go as far as possible to try to silence you, even getting government agencies to give you phone calls and try to stop by and do unannounced visits on you. At that point, when it starts to affect the rest of my family or have the potential to affect the rest of my family,
this is juicy.
I can back down pretty quick.
This is definitely a vlog.
I don't know as that will ever actually come to a vlog that I can say, which is why I'm dancing around the issue.
Let's just put it, when
said individual actually passes away, there might be a vlog. When I have no more potential fear for retribution, or when, let's see, Micah's 13, maybe in 5 years.
Okay.
Then maybe. But that being said, it's one of those that I had to step away. I had to take some time. And just in politically, I wasn't even vlogging back then. So because I wasn't vlogging back then, I didn't start vlogging until 2018, and there was no real caucusing being had around here. There was a Democratic caucus that was being had over the 2020 elections. I have been pretty much blacklisted from any Democratic events. Like one was a Hillary campaign that I was invited to. I had tickets for. I had planned on doing that, and then I wound up getting another email back, and it said, "Oh, by the way, your tickets are actually no good. You can't make it to the event. We're full." I'm like, uh-huh, sure. And then started asking around, and they're like, "Oh yeah, that's what happens when they figure out who you actually are." It was like, come on, I'm not going to try to sabotage anything. First and foremost, I'm here to try to pray for them and pray that they would have a God encounter that would leave them to the saving knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. That's first and foremost. Then that they would actually live their life according to his ways. Then after I've done my prayer duties, yes, then I'm going to try to trip you up in a question to expose your heart motives. There will be more vlogs, I'm sure. I've already missed a couple potential events that have happened. And it's just because I'm busy. And that's like, I'm not dropping everything in my life to go do these things. I think I've got everything kind of in a proper perspective and priorities now. So if it happens, it happens. If it comes up, it does. If it doesn't.
We all have these types of moments. And that's kind of why I wanted to talk about it today. Like this is something unique to your area, to your ministry that you keep finding yourself in. And I think you're probably going to do it anyway. You're going to go at the chance to be able to pray over President Trump. So I think this is where you get, if you document the process, this is where you get more eyeballs. This is where you get more folks to go in, oh, that's what Joshua does. Oh, that, or I didn't even know that, I didn't even know part of our process, part of how we elect folks. I didn't know there was that nuanced in Iowa, that there would be the bases coming together to vet these candidates and kind of screen them out. So I'm super excited that there are 50 warriors that sit down in a room and go,
"We expose them. We expose them."
That's comforting.
We can expose them very quickly because I don't know if it's something about Iowa. I don't know if it's something that we're such a small state and the majority of it is rural And because it's rural, it's like, whatever, you put your pants on the same way that we do, one leg at a time. Ain't that special? Yeah. I mean, we all have to bow to the name of Jesus, so we're all going to be on level playing field. But if you're trying to get my vote, my support, my endorsement, you better actually represent me and my beliefs. So I want to know what you believe. And this is where it becomes even more dangerous for those who are trying to get the conservative evangelical vote, because our pastors in this state are very active and we are discerners of men and the intentions of their hearts. And you think you can give us a political answer, but we have asked it in such a way to get exactly to where your heart is at. And out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart will speak. And the more you talk and the more you say it.
Flop that. Let's just tell the audience, flop that. Flop what? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Go ahead.
Oh, did I say the opposite way?
You just said it the opposite way. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So by your words, and actually, isn't it Psalms that says that something about a man is known by his words? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'll know who you are. I'll know where your actual motives are. Issue of life is the biggest one for me.
Well,
by far, that's it. Don't tell me that I am for any exceptions, because I am not for any exceptions. I am like God. I am not willing that any should perish. None whatsoever. So don't tell me that I am, but I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to put you on the spot, and I'm going to do it when there are a lot of other eyes and ears around. And then right after you have opened your mouth and you have exposed where your heart's at, I will quickly be running up to every other influential pastor that I know that has a great sphere of influence. And I'll be like, so what did you think of that non-answer? What did you think of that political tap dance? And that's where it's like, you know, kind of going through with those things. So we identify them really quick. And you know, this is a pastor. You have to do this with your church members. Somebody comes and they've got an issue that they're trying to work out, and you let them talk and you listen to what they're saying and what they're not saying. And you're able to figure out exactly where they're at and where they need to fix things and what the problem is. And because you're able to discern that, you're able to identify it. It's like, okay, here we go. The thing when political candidates come in, it's like, I'm going to ask the pointed questions and I'm going to get to where you're at. I would prefer that you just be honest and own your position, right or wrong. That's where, like, your governor back in, I think it was 2015, your former governor, Governor Perry, he had come in and I walked straight up to him and I was like, so I can't find anything on the record where you've actually flat out said what your position is when it comes to life. Will you tell me right now, what is your position? Pro-life, pro-choice, for exceptions, no exceptions? Tell me, I need to know. And I think I've got a photo somewhere, and he looked like a deer caught in the headlights, because it was like, I'm right up there and I've got my hand up on his shoulder and I'm in his face. And it's like, oh, we're going to answer this right now. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to go on the record right now. And there was a group of people around and everybody's like, oh, Josh is actually going to get him on the record of saying this. And he gave his answer. And then months later, I was like, now, wait a second. I met you a few months back and you told me this, and now you're telling all the news stations this. So were you lying then? Were you lying now? Or did something actually happen? And it's like, those are the moments where it's trying to figure out what is actually going on. And so, yeah, to do that and to really kind of ask those pointed questions, it definitely does get a little bit closer in getting to where they're at. And the fact that he, at least at the time, yes, he was open and honest and he just kind of owned it, even though he hadn't done it much prior to that. So anyhow, that was that whole thing. And as far as documenting, as far as how we should document our journey, because that's the thing that we're trying to discuss today, was, you know, the importance of documenting life events, like Jared mentioned, documenting the life events, or like I did with praying, you know, in that group of pastors praying for Trump. And how is that going to help us relevantly share our faith? That's one of those that, it's a question that I think we all have. I also think it's something that we all should kind of think about, because there are moments that we have, life events that we have. Mine may be kind of unique in this scenario because I'm in Iowa and because I'm a pastor, that I'm able to document in the vlog format of these events, of being able to meet political candidates, have those moments with them, ask them questions, be able to pray for them. Those may be unique to me, but each of us have our own unique moments, our own unique events that we wind up doing. You know, one of those that I know Jared's done a few different times because of the business that he runs. He's able to kind of go on some of these events and document things, like when he's going out and doing a documentary here, or he's doing, you know, some of the, Jared, some of the other things that you wind up documenting are things like not only the documentaries that you've done and went and been a capturing, but you've had other things like, is it like the Dancing for the Stars or something, that type of stuff. And I think there's a moment for each of us as we talk about the importance of documenting our journeys, that we all experience something unique. And in those unique situations, our faith is, or at least should be, the driving force behind everything we do. No matter what we do, everything should be done as doing it unto the Lord.
Right.
And I think if we document it, yes, there's a moment where we could over-spiritualize life events, but I don't think any of us are in danger of actually over-spiritualizing life events. I think we're more in a danger of under-spiritualizing life events. We think it's just a natural event. It's just a physical thing. It's not actually spiritual, and there's always a spiritual component to it. I mean, that's where I loved that question. I loved, you know, you bringing up the topic. What is the importance of doing this? I think the importance is us showing people how God should be and is, in a perfect scenario, wrapped up in our entire event. What, you got something over there?
Which I'm pointing to your shirt. Anybody who's watching live.
Yeah, the Live by Faith. It. Yeah. And that's the thing. We all do that. So how is it important?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the hurdle I think we have to get over first, because, and I was kind of alluding to it earlier, yours is a known significant event. This is not how you've built your channel. If people aren't used to seeing Joshua go to meet presidential candidates and do that whole side of things. So that's going to be exciting and new. And you knew that it's coming, so you documented it. I think the concern is for the other side of the pendulum, where we go, nothing goes on in our world, and I'm waiting for a significant moment. I'm the hybrid of the two. I tend to overcomplicate the days that you have and go, oh my goodness, how are we going to get this shot? I don't know that I can get in there. I'm just going to bring my cell phone, and I'm going to make it way too complex, and I end up missing the moment, and I get discouraged from doing that again. And then I look at my daily life, which my audience loves, and I don't want to do that. I don't document that because I think it's boring, where I think most of the faith nuggets that you're talking about actually come out there. Because, and I'll push back a little bit on the over-spiritualizing, I'm a pastor. That comes out all the stinking time. So I need to just live my life. And what I think is being boring is there's going to be a nugget that comes out at some point. It's a part of my world. He's in everything in it.
And that's the thing. Focusing. Yeah, that's the thing that I do think that as a follower of Christ, not as a pastor, as a follower of Christ, I relate more to the day-to-day things. And when I even look through the Gospels and look what Jesus did, Jesus wasn't primarily teaching on these big life events.
And when he did it in parables.
But yeah, typically, typically it wasn't the big life events. It was like, oh, hey, so you're fishing. Guess what? I'm going to make you fishers of men.
Yeah.
And it was like he put a spiritual nugget in, or walking by, and then it's like, oh, there's a fig tree that doesn't have any figs. So what can I teach you about this? Oh, we're walking by. Let me tell you about, you know, like something that's planted here by the wayside. Let me just use what we're in right now to give a nugget. And those who have ears to hear heard. And those who didn't have ears to hear didn't hear. Jesus said, that's why I speak in these parables, in these riddles. I speak it for a reason. I think we could use more of those modern day parables. Are we going to do it as well as Jesus? Absolutely not. But can I, and you'll see this when the vlog comes out, can I talk about honor and our call to honor everybody and to pray for everyone through being able to meet the former president of the United States? Yes, I can. Most people would be focused on, oh, this is a huge event. I'm more focused on this is a spiritual call. And sure, you're in Texas. You may not be able to be in a room, in a foyer. Like that's essentially what it was. It was the foyer of the church. That's where we're sitting. You may not be able to be in a foyer with a former president. You may not be able to be in a barn with a presidential candidate and a sitting U.S. senator. You may not be able to be at the state fair with presidential candidates, by the way, just so you know, they're all here during the Iowa State Fair. So it's like,
interesting.
These may not be the for everybody to have. However, just because you're not here doesn't mean you can't pray for them. Doesn't mean you can't honor them.
Oh, and I think that's where it's like identify those nuggets with it too.
Yeah.
Because we all would at least, not just pastors, I'm going to put it just pastors, as believers, we would hope that when we sat down with the leadership or the rulers of the land at whatever level, maybe that's a mayor, maybe that's just a community leader, we would hope that God's going to infuse us with his wisdom and grace and have them have that divine encounter, so to speak, where God touches them at the core of their being. So I think just even in that, watching you walk that out, it's going to resonate with those of us who go, oh, this is what you've been called to do. This is your moment to bring that peace to bear.
Yeah.
I see it, appreciate it, identify with it, because I want to be ready in my moment whenever God calls that.
Yeah. And I think the big thing, you know, bringing this back to the topic of the importance of documenting our journeys is that it helps us if we're actually documenting our journey so that we can relevantly share our faith. What that does is it helps us stay focused on the things above, not the things of this earth. It helps us keep our mind where Christ is, seated at the right hand, today's Bible verse of the day. It helps us do those things, so it helps us stay focused and grounded where we should. But not only does it do that for ourselves and our own benefit, for others around, it helps them do the same thing and see us live by faith, see us live out what it means to be a follower of Christ in a practical scenario. And yes, sometimes it's the big events, but I think the best ones, like you were alluding to, are the small ones that we are seeming as insignificant. Yes, I prayed for presidential candidates and presidents, but I've also been able just to be at the grocery store and pray for a cashier. I've been at the gas station and been able to pray for somebody there. I've been at Walmart and been able to encourage and uplift somebody. I've been on a school bus and been able to share some biblical wisdom with people. Like there are these moments that we have every day, and I don't do nearly as good of a job of documenting them as I should. It's like if I knew what was going to be happening in the moment,
that's the catch, isn't it?
I would do it. I would do it a lot more often. But then because I don't think anything's going to happen, I don't do it. And yet oftentimes some of the best stuff, it's just like, and I'm constantly reminded of one of my favorite vlogs that I did. It was Reagan's birthday a few different years ago. And we went up to Des Moines, we went to the mall, I think we got dinner, and her and I are sitting out at the mall. They got a little lake pond, whatever it is, a body of water that is man-made. And we're sitting there and I just ask her, you know, because I've given her this day. I bought her presents and I fed her. And I brought her up here. Who's your favorite dad?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's me, right? And she answers, God is.
Oh, yes.
Amen. Yeah. Like, that was not a setup. It was not anticipated. I just, hey, here's a moment. It's, you know what? Might as well take a camera. Might as well just document one of these things. So that was one of those things of just, it was a day, just a day. And I didn't know where it was going or what was going to happen. And that's the other thing. Like, from a vlog pastor standpoint, our entire vlog doesn't have to be pinpointed on this one main idea.
Hang on. Say that again for me. Say that again for me, because I am stuck in making stuff. Go.
Our entire vlog does not have to be pinpointed on this one main idea. Are our sermons that way? Have I tried to preach one-point sermons? Yes. I think that they are very effective. I still cannot do them on a regular basis. I come back to 3 points and a prose. You know, it's like I'm always back to that, going back to these, and I go down rabbit trails all the time. And I'm like, oh, hey, by the way, while we're right here, while we're talking about this thing, can I just point out one other thing? And that's who I am. I go. So the vlog should be the same way. I should just decide. You should just decide. Everybody out there who wants to truly document their journey, especially from a vlog pastor standpoint, in a video format, and a vlogging standpoint. Yes, I know, Diana, I am sticking my own foot in my mouth. I am stomping on my own toes right now. What we should do is just determine, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to document my life with Christ today. I don't know what that means. I have nothing really planned other than I want some coffee, so I'm going up to the coffee shop and we'll see what happens, because God shows up in my life every single day in a way that I often don't think about it. And maybe if we just document randomly throughout the day, all of a sudden something will happen. And I think you and I know this because we did an editor swap one day where I knew exactly what this vlog was going to be. And I recorded it with the edit in mind, so it was really cookie cutter for you. And all you had to do was just trim it up and then just send it out. And you gave me elephant slinging stuff all over. But I went back through and I'm listening through that and I'm scrubbing through that. And there were like 3 or 4 different ideas that could come out. And I don't even remember which one I saw, but I was sitting there thinking, one, I don't want to paint you or your wife in any type of a bad light. So I am going to try to make sure that you guys are elevated and honored through this. And two, I want people that are watching it to be encouraged. So what are those moments that I could pull out? What is in here? And that's essentially it. And you think we do that with our lives anyways. We may not be documenting our lives, but if we get home and wife comes in and, hey, honey, how was your day? In the confines of our home, we may tell them about some of the frustrating things that were happening, but all we're really doing is we're giving them the highlights. Mm-hmm. Here are the highlights of the day. Here's what happens. And if we don't want to be miserable saps all the time, we start elevating and finding the uplifting, the encouraging, the praiseworthy things that we're supposed to focus on.
That's a mouthful.
That was a huge monologue right there.
Yeah,
I don't even know what I said, but I know I need to listen to this again.
Yeah, it was good all the way through. I'm probably going to have to put this, make a time marker in the, oh no, pull it out, make it a short. Maybe we should talk about that in the future.
Yeah. And I've done we've done a couple of those on the Vlog Pastors where we've taken segments,
mm-hmm.
You know, take this segment out and then throw it here, which would be a good one to be had, because it really wraps up and encapsulates what we're
talking
about.
Well, it's where we've been for multiple years, and yeah. we're still very much in the process of it. We know intellectually, we know in our hearts that if we hit record, God's going to do what He does, and it's great. We also have little nuggets of experience that go, you know, that was a cruddy day, and yep. for some reason, or nothing happened. Nothing significant happened while the cameras were rolling. We missed the events. That's my big one. There's cool stuff happens every day, but I didn't have the camera rolling. So instead, we're going to sit down and do a monologue, and I tell you about what happened today and how cool it was. And don't you wish that I filmed it? But it's nice to get a reminder every now and again.
And
a
one monologue. my kids, their favorite vlog that you've done is the one where you reenacted something that happened and you went back to your church and you laid down and you're like, that is that moment that they remember. Like, and really that should tell us that even if you're there, because it's not like we record everything. I didn't record everything yesterday. I just recorded a highlight here and a highlight here. And yes, there was stuff that I wish I would have recorded that I didn't. And then, of course, I'm getting the photo taken and I'm thinking, should I just use the camera and record this? And if I record it in 4K, at least I've got a little bit of a video. Or should I do the selfie and just the, I didn't know which to do. So I just picked one. In hindsight, it probably would have been better if I had used the ZV-1 and just recorded video and then taken a still frame out of it. But I didn't. Oh, well. You know, and I didn't, even there, like I leave, and you'll see this in the vlog, I leave the church, I kind of stop and I'm like, I don't know where my final thoughts are on this. I don't know what I actually think about what was said and what happened. I need to process this. I need to think about it a little bit. And I intentionally recorded that moment of me saying, I don't know. So I'm going to think about this. One, that gives me an out where I didn't record until like late last night. And then as I wanted to kind of illustrate something, I didn't have the illustration that I needed. So that was the thing I forgot to ask Jen for this morning, which I've got to go grab so I can finish the last bit of recording and then edit and upload it for you guys. But in our moments there, it's okay. If you missed it, if you didn't have the camera and something just happened, pull out your phone, record your reaction to what just happened right there, because at least you get that initial energy of, dude, this was awesome. I wish I would have recorded it. I didn't. Here, let me try to recreate it for you and reenact it. But even just that in the moment kind of dialogue sometimes can be huge. And I'll have a future vlog coming out where I'm talking about grandma. And I haven't recorded a lot on that because it's just not been in the right context in the setting. But there was something that happened last night that was like, we didn't know whether we should be laughing or crying. And it was a hallelujah, praise God moment. And my phone was dead and it was at home. And I had neither camera with me. And I mentioned to mom, I wish I had my camera. And she ran out and grabbed her iPhone 6 that barely does anything and pulls it out in vertical format to try to record.
No.
And it's like, thank you. Now, of course, do I wish that I would have taken her last week to get a new Pixel phone like I told her I was going to? Absolutely. It would have been even better. But well, I didn't. But at least I've got something.
You're her
favorite son. I am.
You're her favorite son. So she did that for you. Always. She stepped up. She didn't even hold that against you.
She did. I've got the shirt to say it. And one of these days, she's actually going to confirm it.
One day. You know, I got a sneaking suspicion. I don't want to say anything yet, but you might be onto something.
Yes. Okay. So if we're to summarize our thoughts here, because we're getting, did you notice that we're getting in this habit of being very busy where sometimes we have to like, we may show up on time, but then we have to like wrap up early.
We gotta go.
Yeah. We're kind of getting
in that.
It
is what it is.
And it's the summer schedule and it just gets really busy.
It's a busy season. Our families are at home ready to go do other things. We've got work going on. It just is what it is. But
I wish that spiritual component aside, I wish we could actually figure out a way of being omnipresent, like cloning ourselves to be in two places at once.
Yes.
That would be swell. I would like that. Or to have like a Back to the Future moment. That would be cool.
Rabbit trail.
Yes.
Would you, if it's FDA approved, if it's been tested for, say, let's call it 10 years. Let's say you live, you're in your 40s, you're in your 50s. Would you implant a Neuralink if you saw that the people were massively smarter? They could compute things, all of that. You could tie into your car. Would you ever implant a Neuralink?
No.
Me either. Get that evil away from me, Ricky Bobby. I don't want that.
No.
I don't want it. No. I don't trust it. To me, it's like,
No.
I'm going to stay the way God made me. Thank you very much. Maybe I'm special or something, but I don't know.
Yeah, like, hey, you know what? And this is probably way too much information, but hey, we're used to doing TMI around here.
Here we are.
I even struggled years ago with a thought on vasectomies and should that even happen? Should I get one? And I was so against it. I was like, no, we're going to have 38 of these things. We're going to keep popping at them. but it was like, I'm going to put Nick Cannon to shame. Like we're going Amish, old school. I'm going to be, you know, Isaac and having the 12 tribes come from these loins. So that was the initial thought. And spiritually it was like, how can I, if God has designed me this way, how could I do something different? But then when it came down to, Genevieve and having some really rough pregnancies, then it was like, no. I mean, two things. One, I don't want her to go through this pain, and to put her health and well-being, even life, in jeopardy like this. And two, I also refuse to keep my hands and other body parts off of her. It was like, not going to happen. Like, just no. So at that point, it was like, well, I'm going to do this. And I've had others in ministry that said, no, doing something like that is ungodly. I won't say unbiblical because I've not seen that word anywhere in the Bible, but ungodly, and it's not scripturally backed. And I'm like, oh, that's fine. I'm not going to get into a debate on these minor things. But even with some of those medical things, it's like, I don't know. I mean, here in a few weeks, I'm supposed to have like a gallbladder come out. And I'm like, why do you need to take a gallbladder out? Like, I mean, why? It only causes me severe like emergency room pain every few years.
Yes. Yes.
So why do I need to remove this thing? I was like, just leave it in. And then like, actually, like, if this is as bad as we think it's bad, you've got to get it out. Like this will be very bad. And I'm like, nothing a little more hot sauce won't fix. so I'm there. No, Neuralink, definitely not happening. How did we get on this rabbit trail? We were talking about Back to the Future things.
Yes.
Yeah, we were talking about Back to the Futures and talking about how we do need to get going here in a little bit, so we got to wrap this up. But if we're to kind of summarize this, Jared,
if you're getting a Neuralink, go ahead and document it.
Document the Neuralink.
Document the process.
I'm not going to say it's unbiblical because I haven't seen the term Neuralink anywhere in my Bible. But, I mean, hey, what do words mean anyways? I mean, what is
your
a
truth
woman?
Is your truth.
Hey, did you see that? Did you see that what is a woman actually got, actually for, I think the next like 8 hours or so, it's actually free on Twitter. Daily Wire put it up. Twitter was supposed to be promoting it. And then all of a sudden they flagged it as hateful conduct stuff.
Ooh.
And Elon is like rapidly trying to figure that out. And this should not have happened. How did this happen?
Got put up or that it got taken down?
That it was supposed to be taken down. Oh, so yeah, it was coming down and he was like, he's like, no, this isn't happening.
This is
like, you couldn't even retweet it.
Well, this is your question right here. This is the challenge to the leadership to say, where do you stand on this? You need to answer for it. Are you really free speech? Are you free speech, but not this? Oh,
yeah.
I love it.
So it was interesting. I haven't caught up with all of it, but I know that like last night he's like, no, this will get fixed in the morning. The problem is Daily Wire was only putting it up free for 24 hours because it's the 1 year anniversary of putting out What is a Woman, but it's still on the Daily Wire Twitter page for like the next 8 hours. We watched it late last night. I was dragging this morning because I was trying. Here's the hard part. I don't like watching stuff on small screens. I like watching it on big screens. I could not get my Pixel to cast to my Roku, and I didn't want to set in the living room where I could cast it to my Android TV. So I laid in bed watching it on a tablet. But it was excellent. Oh, but yeah, words.
It's really good.
Words. What do they mean? Neuralink, what does it even mean?
I think
Mark of the Beast, maybe?
Probably. That's honestly, that's in the back of my mind. I'm like, not touching it, just to be safe.
Wrapping this up, Jared.
Yes,
are a vlog pastor.
Indeed. Well, by title only right now, in name only.
A vlog is a video weblog. A weblog is a web-based log entry documentation of thoughts, ideas, occurrences. So a vlog is a video documenting your thoughts, your ideas, all these things posted on the web. Mm-hmm. As a vlog pastor, and as part of the Vlog Pastors podcast, what would be your recommendation to other pastors, other ministers, other Christians who are wanting to use the web, the interwebs, to share their faith in a relevant way?
What would be my recommendation?
Yeah.
In a super dumbed down perspective and viewpoint.
Keep in mind, this is your chance to step on your own toes.
This is it. There's two phrases I'm going to use. They're going to have just blah, blah, blah. Just hit record and just hit publish. Because it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter how good it is. Doesn't even matter if the story's intact, because you will get better as you go. All that stuff doesn't necessarily, it doesn't even, honestly, if we're being frank, we could stand up in front of a congregation on Sunday and Mary had a little lamb. And if the Spirit's in it and he's going to use it, people are going to hear things that you did not intend. And so just the fact that the piece of content had the origin of, I want it to be used of God, and you film something and it is in, as best you can, alignment with what he told you to do, or something that inspired you from him, that you believe was from him, anything that has that mark on it, then I don't think it can return void. It's almost like the word. I think God will use it and breathe upon it. So by just recording and just uploading those two little nuggets right there, stepping on my own toes, it's the production for me. Then you've accomplished the mission. It's like, yeah, a testimony. Everyone's is different. Some people have the dramatic elements of drug addictions and blah blah blah, and some people don't. Yep. But you know the same source, and you're accomplishing the same function. I would say it's the same. It's the same in vlogging. Just do it.
Yeah.
Document it. Right, what would you say? You done?
Hey, I already monologue, said what I was going to say.
See previous monologue.
See previous monologue. I already said it. Let's grab a couple quick Amazing. Comments here before we sure. get out. And we'll kind of wrap up. I do know that Diana had told us that she had to roll at some point. Yeah, there you go, Jared. Sure. Tease about the vlog we'll never see. The wounds open deeper. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I love that lady.
That's funny. And then Brian Sarosa, the Gospel of Transformation videos in the house. Saying, good morning. Good morning. He also said that he did not realize that we had been on for an hour, clicked to be notified, and didn't get it. The YouTube notification. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Probably just the change. I mean, we are on Friday.
That's true. Jeffrey Collins saying that he agrees with us. I am glad that you agree that the word is pronounced root.
Nope. I knew. I was like, man, that's a dangerous statement right there for him to be able to call back at any point.
Brian was saying, yes, this is so on point. He said that he noticed that if he doesn't start filming in the morning, it is more difficult to start filming later in the day. And that is exactly where he started. And this was, I saw when this popped up, he said it got difficult in the, he said effort, he meant edit, because this is where we were talking about, just start recording some stuff and then let that come out. That is one thing that you are absolutely right on. It does become a little bit difficult in the edit process. But with both Jared and I nearing 400 vlogs at this point, we can pretty much say that it gets easier. Like if you start recording it, if you just start waiting to see where the story is, when that moment comes up, you know, okay, what did I record beforehand that I just need to trash bin?
You can't unsee it.
And then what do I need to do to kind of tie this into a story afterwards? So it becomes easier after the point happens. You can record with the edit in mind. If you don't see it at all, repeat the process. The more you repeat it, the more you find it in the edit process, the more you will be able to find it in the recording process. And that's where you start recording with the edit in mind.
Which it's tough because then you can't see the world without it. Like you're living your life, you go, oh, I recorded that, and that. I need to record this so that these two pieces make sense. Or you're going on about your day, and if you get lost in the edit, you're like, where am I? What is going on? Wait a minute. I need a timeline.
Yeah.
It gets to be fun, man. You just see it. It's kind of like the Matrix. You just walk around going, oh, okay, we need some B-roll here.
He's saying, do you think it'd be easier or more helpful if you knew what type of segments you wanted to have in each vlog? Maybe.
If you're talking about edit, so when just use ours as an example, when we did the editor swap, my edit that I did for his videos was easier because he knew exactly what he was shooting and filming, and there was no confusion. I basically just had to bring them in, make a transition piece at some point. And mine for him, I didn't know where I was going with it. So it was a whole bunch of just recording stuff, and he had to sift through. The edit was a nightmare. So if you're thinking about just the edit, and that seems to be where you're at, want to get a little bit cleaner on that, maybe pray, ask the Lord for a singular word or idea for the day, and start walking out that idea and documenting how you understand that process. And maybe that'll give you something to cut to, a base to cut to keep it a little more streamlined.
Yep. Jeffrey Colling saying, I need to learn how to do a vlog. Somebody should make a course about that. honestly, one of the best courses that there is as far as vlogging is actually Casey Neistat's. It's like a guide to filmmaking or something like that. I took that. I've watched it a few different times. I keep learning something every time I go through it. It's good. And yet at the, when it really comes down to it, it's that old thing that we've said in ministry that more is caught than taught. And by watching a lot of vlogs, you will learn how to vlog. By starting to vlog, you'll learn how to vlog. So that's where you just learn to get it.
To the uninitiated, it looks like a whole story, and you're just like, oh, wow, look at the story that was told to me. But to the vloggers out there, you're like, oh, nice intro. Good hook right there.
Yeah.
Looky there. There's a transition piece. Transition. Where's the meat and potatoes? Okay, there's only one hunk of meat and potatoes that they've covered up with filler. You'll get to where you can just see the different chunks and pieces. What are you doing? You texting?
No.
Taking pictures?
I'm taking a B-reel.
Oh.
Taking a B-reel. Yeah, because I'm on another social platform that is actually more fun, kind of. I just don't like the fact that they tell me every day that this is the time that you have to take a photo. And it reminds me a lot of Beam, what Casey Neistat was doing. So, he was saying, in other words, for me, I was thinking of having a segment of me doing evangelism out in the street and then make sure I record that. And then another segment of saying, hey, what's my wife going to do today? Yeah. And a lot of that depends on the direction that you're going to be doing. But even if you just say, this is the vlog for the channel, and here's what the plan is for the day, and then you go do it. Yep. I mean, that's essentially a Casey Neistat vlog is, I'm going to do this.
And I've seen your style before too, man. So basically, hey, the Lord showed me this. This is the person I'm looking for. This is the situation that he's put on my heart. Or you could even document that a little bit afterwards. Like I walked up to this person, I felt some chest pains, and so I asked them this, just kind of give them a debrief, because otherwise this right here doesn't exactly, because having been out there, this right here doesn't exactly inspire openness and communication whenever you're live and in the moment. Did you get that? I'm hearing the term, you know, which yeah. I wish they had. They never finished with those little small 360 cams.
Mm-hmm.
They were about this big and they were like magnetized and you could clip them on places. If they would have finished that idea, probably too dangerous. If they would have finished that, that could have been amazing for those types of situations. You could just clip it on your pocket or whatever and then just talk. Just flow of thought type of stuff.
Yeah. And at the same time, we're living in this age where you're kind of used to seeing cameras all over the place anyways.
Yeah, you'd be like a trucker, like a dash cam trucker, but it's on your person, just walking around encountering people.
Yep, you could definitely do that. He's saying, then another segment, coming home, seeing if my wife accomplished what she wanted to accomplish. Yeah, you just figure out your, honestly, trial and error. Try something, see how it works. Don't get married to any one particular idea until you've tried. I think it was Roberto Blake that, you know, was saying like your first, you got to make 50 videos before you ever kind of figure out what kind of videos you even want to make. And I've heard other YouTubers say, actually, it's more like 100. So it's like, you gotta do it. You gotta try it. And I've done some of the like weekly vlogs. I've done full daily vlogs, and now it's more just a vlog with a idea in mind. But most of mine is, if I already know what I'm going to be doing, I'll record that journey and then let the nugget come out that I want to isolate. Because for me, a vlog is not just showing the events. It's not just a chronological entry. I did this, then I did this, then I did this, then I did this. I prefer a vlog with a point, a vlog with an idea behind it. And I prefer if those ideas are either related into something that God is speaking to me or something that is in what I do and how I do it. Mm-hmm. So it's got to be in and around that. It's
fascinating, just to answer you guys. I'm opposite. I'm chronological. I would love to be able to do how Joshua does. I can't. My brain will not let me. When I lay at the timeline, it's how it happened in real life. Sometimes I can force myself to go and drag it out of timeline sequencing, but it's still tough. It's tough.
I edit and I record chronologically, but the story, yeah. I can go back when I find it here, then I can go back. Okay, what did I actually record? And is there something that can either set it up? And if not something to set it up, then just random stuff. So yeah, in the middle of the day, hey, don't have no clue what I'm doing today, but I'm going to go do something and I'm going to record something. So let's go. And then just go and then
yeah,
record and whatever. And 9 times out of 10, that footage is scrapped. It's like, nope, not going to happen. Yeah. Wayne Riz in the house saying trial and error, baby. And yeah, I'm still figuring out after 10 years.
Yeah. Man, I was having that same thought. I thought about pulling up how many videos, like 349 or something like that, videos I have, and saying I'm still in the process. I'm still, as you guys heard a couple weeks ago, Diana was ribbing me. I'm like, I still don't know who I am or what I'm doing in the whole video space. What is it?
Jared Brown, 398 videos.
I'm 2 away, baby. Oh, I really want to go make some videos right now. I did not realize that's a metric I can get behind. I'm 2 away, baby. Oh.
Joshua Verwers, 362. Okay, I'm 38 away, baby. I got to catch Jared. Oh, man.
Well, don't do that because you're going to force me into a 30-day vlog challenge.
That's what your last 30 days. You and I were like neck and neck, and then all of a sudden you busted out a 30-day trying to find God, and it's like,
yeah,
I'm not going to catch him because I don't want to.
Well, it's not fair because I'm a couple years ahead of you. So you're making regular content, but brother, you're good.
Yeah. Although if we add up all of the shorts and stuff. Oh, one more thing that I want to give you guys before we actually go out of here, just as a little fun thing. I think I shared this with Diana and Jared. I think I might have also shared it in one of Trey's groups.
What you got?
Buzzlytics, TikTokViewCounter.com. If you have ever wanted to know your overall reels and how many views and whatnot you get on there, because I believe it was last week, I think it might have been Brian that mentioned, I don't know, I was a little over 500,000 or something between Instagram and YouTube. But you can type in either your TikToks, your reels, or your shorts, and it will pull up all of the analytics through this Buzzlytic reels and whatever. And let's see if it actually pulls this up. I was shocked and amazed at how many, because he was telling me last week, I think he put it in the chat, about how many I had, but that was just over my YouTube views and the Instagram. And it was like, well, actually, look, I think it's that a lot more than that. So on Instagram reels alone, 534,338 views. Yeah.
How neat.
So that was it's kind of a cool thing to look at. And then this is the average view that I get. I like that they've got the average and then the median. But yeah, average per reel is 2,181, which I just thought was kind of cool. Apparently it's for 119 hours. people have watched my reels for 3 months. Like,
wow.
That's, it's just one of those things. Like, it's not all about views, but a really cool little thing. If you want to go check that out, it is TikTokViewCount.com. That's TikTokViewCount.com. That's all I got for you. Jared, you got anything else for him?
No, sir.
All right. Well, we got some busy weeks coming up. We should see you on time, I think, next week. So, see ya.
Lord willing.
Yeah, Lord willing, it'll be on Wednesday at 10:30 and not on Friday again. So, until then, stay blessed. Enjoy God's best. Have a fantastic week.